My head just exploded. What if Kiss took the makeup off for the Unmasked album and turned themselves into a pop band? Be part of Three Sides of the Coin. Leave a video message for us. Head over to threesidesofthecoin.com, click on the video message link, and record your 3-minute video.
How are you?
We are flying by the seat of our pants today, aren't we?
Every week we are,
but especially today. So we are recording this one day after we recorded the last episode.
So if you guys think we scraped the barrel last week, just wait.
We're already down at the bottom of the barrel, so I don't know what more is left to scrape on this one. No, we're back recording on Tuesdays like we normally do, and we had a special guest scheduled for today. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to say who it is, but
no,
we actually had him on here. Where did my video go? Why did my video turn off?
I don't know. That's very strange.
There it is. I'm back again.
Maybe it's the Eric Carr comments. It's God.
Oh, it's God. I don't know. But anyway, we had the special guest actually online with us, and he goes, hey, wait a second. What if I get one more person to join in? And I'm like,
we're like, yeah. Hells yeah.
And he gave him a quick call. Unfortunately, the other guy was not available, but he's going to be available in 2 weeks. So we're going to push that special guest and his surprise guest back 2 weeks because it's just going to be worth it. So literally we just hung up with him 20 seconds ago, and now we're like, what the hell do we talk about today? We scraped the barrel, as you said, last week.
Yes, we sure did.
Now we got nothing to talk about. There's nothing left in the Kiss world to talk about. Oh, right. Wait a second. Before we get into talking about stuff, I got to piss people off.
Homework.
No, housekeeping.
Sorry, yeah, housekeeping,
the
sorry.
The 10-minute segment of housekeeping. I want you guys to time us. This is going to be 10 minutes.
Okay, ready?
I swear to God. I'm Go. Starting at 1:31. Housekeeping. Head over to the Apple App Store, iOS Store, the Google Play Store. Download our free apps. We've got apps for Android. We've got apps for your iPhone and your iPad. They're 100% free. It automatically updates with the new show as soon as it's pushed live. You can listen to it anywhere you want. Leave ratings and reviews just like we've been asking for iTunes, but do it in these app stores as well because that would be great. It would help us big time. Of course, please leave video messages. We want your 3-minute video message, especially if you think I really disrespected Eric Carr. Get some balls. Leave a 3-minute video message and tell me I did that.
Yeah. Don't just say he's going to hell. Funny. Joey's a funny guy.
Yeah, I'm going to
Love
hell.
Love that.
I'm going to hell.
Family's
going to be pissed off at me. I don't care. You use the video message to say anything. You know, if you think Tommy's just a big yes man.
And, yes.
And And he's sitting over there being manipulated by puppet strings by me.
Yeah.
Raise your right hand, Tommy.
I'm in the middle of taping Three Sides of the Coin. What should I say next?
You guys are freaking crazy. Oh. So crazy. Anyway, there you go. That was housekeeping. It is now 1:32. Was that 10 minutes?
Yeah, no,
it was one minute.
Three, yeah. Three or four tops.
So there, sit on that and rotate, Potsy.
Perfect.
Do you have a comment?
Yeah, I do, actually. And this is about this week's topic, or last week's, I should say, with the whole thing with Eric Carr. And there was a bunch of them, and it's really led to some great discussion. And there was one that I thought was really interesting, and it's David Gillespie. And he says, maybe the question is, if he was alive, would he have stayed with Kiss? He had a lot of insecurities, you know, and that's another question that's fair to raise. Would he have even stayed?
Well, yeah.
I mean, you can't make the assumption that he would have.
No, but you know what? The fun part, as I mentioned last week in the what if, you can make the what if on whatever conditions you want. So
yeah.
If part of your what if Eric Carr never died was he would have never stayed in Kiss, well, that's your what if. You can sit here and say, you know what? He would have left the band because he was not happy with where things were going. He wasn't getting along with Paul, whatever. And it would have never come to him even being around for the reunion tour. That could be part of your what if.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's
absolutely
fun about what ifs.
Yeah. So thank you to all of you that are continuing to post and coming up with, you know, extra questions that can be debated. It's great.
So I think we would be remiss. It's a big word, like gymnasium.
Oh God, who do you sound like now?
We would be remiss if we did not discuss last night's show, which was the opening night of the Kiss 40th anniversary tour in Salt Lake City.
Yep.
And I was thinking, because, you know, it's going to be another set list discussion, as much as I hate it, but I thought the best way to approach it was literally like the excitement I had when I was instant messaging you last night with the set.
Yeah, he said, I actually have to go. I was like, holy smokes.
Well,
that
yeah.
shocked me.
So actually, I would consider going to this tour now based on the set list that I saw. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, the band is in town here next week.
And
it's like July 2nd, and I'm on vacation.
Oh, and you're not going to cancel your vacation? You're not a fan.
Of course not. I'm not canceling my vacation.
I would think Katrina would want you to cancel, and then you can put Thule with a babysitter for the night. And
exactly.
Take her to White Castle or the Sizzler and to the Kiss concert.
It's not important to spend time with my wife and my new baby. It's more important to go spend time with Kiss fans.
Totally. Yeah, come on.
So anyway, that's not happening unless they add more dates, come back, or I fly somewhere. But anyway, I would seriously consider going to this tour now based off of the set list, because when the reports were coming in live last night and I like text you like the, or I instant message you like the first five songs, I was like, holy shit.
Yeah.
There isn't one in like the first, what, five songs? There wasn't one old
Clunker.
Kiss standard in there. There was no Deuce. There mm-hmm. was no, I don't know. Detroit Rock City wasn't in there. Love Gun wasn't in there. Strutter wasn't in there. Everything that you would expect to be the standards that would get played. And let me go quickly and open up the set list here. I'm going to go here, and this is going to start playing for me in Spotify. So I don't want it to play. Stop playing.
Well, yeah, and I would think that, you know, this will stir the pot a little bit for people. You know, and again, it's about just playing something different. It doesn't have to be The Oath. Just don't – I still don't understand why – well, we'll go through it. But
well, anyway, so here's – they started the set with King of the Nighttime World. That's cool.
Love that song.
Great
love that song.
Great song.
And I watched the video on YouTube this morning, and one of the things I thought that was interesting is Paul also changed the way he's singing some of those songs. And I think he sounds better.
I was going
to
say the same thing.
Because he's not trying to hold that note.
Yeah, he's not trying to reach that.
Yeah. I don't know. I thought it was good.
Moment.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so they went from King of the Nighttime World into Cold Gin. Now, some of you are going to say, Cold Gin, that's a standard. Well, yeah, but it's not, at least in my view, it's not something they've been playing every year for the last 25 years on tour.
No, They have taken some time off.
Then they went into War Machine, Hide Your Heart, and Christine 16. So first five songs, King of the Nighttime World, Cold Gin, War Machine, Hide Your Heart, and Christine 16. Now, sure, none of them are deep cuts. None of them are rarities. But listen, I never expected that. I just wanted the set list completely mixed up. I wanted older songs that haven't been played in a long time brought back. Come on, Hide Your Heart.
That's fantastic.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. Love it. Then they went into Shout It Out Loud. Then Tommy's favorite.
And I see love it that. Loud. God damn. When are they going to get rid of that frickin' song? I want to hear him do Watching You or something. You know, there's so many to pick from. I was thinking the other day, I'd love to hear, you know, I don't know, even, well, Satan Sinner, that stuff is a little too Almost Human, maybe, but that's too, I don't know, bring God of Thunder back. I don't care. Just keep,
I would take God of Thunder over I Love It Loud.
Oh, how could you not?
But then they went into Making Love.
Very cool.
After I Love It Loud, love it. Making Love, then Psycho Circus.
Love it.
Great tune. Let Me Go mm-hmm. Rock and Roll.
Very cool. Black did they, I wonder if they did the long jam with that.
I don't know. I hope so. I don't know. I haven't seen. There hasn't been a lot of detailed reports about this. Black Diamond, Detroit Rock City, and Rock and Roll All Night. So it was only 13 songs, mm-hmm. which was very short. And part of me, and again, I have no confirmation on this, I suspect something had to be cut short because of time.
How so?
Well,
curfew, you mean, or curfew. Union?
Curfew, yeah.
So then why wouldn't you start it earlier? I mean,
maybe because you couldn't get it started earlier. Maybe there was something that delayed the set changeover and the show started late, and therefore you had to cut a song out.
Okay. So if there's anybody that was at this show, let us know when the whole thing started.
It'd be interesting. Because here's the thing that's definitely missing. Love Gun.
I know.
And that is Paul's favorite song. Kiss tune.
Yeah.
So I can't imagine that was... It's just, again, just me personally saying, I can't imagine that was dropped permanently from the set list. I feel like it was probably in the set list and got pulled because of time constraints.
Well, was there an opening act before Def Leppard?
Yes, Cobra and the Lotus Starship.
So then why? Okay, so why do they even do that? Just get rid of that band entirely and each add two or three songs to both of the sets.
Because that opening band is paying money to go on tour.
Yeah, but how much money? But they're covering some gas?
I don't know.
You know, I mean...
I don't know. Anyway, short set. I basically was like, all right, let's just see what the second show in Denver tomorrow night looks like. If it's longer, if it's exact, we'll get a better idea. You know, I suppose it's possible Love Gun was pulled permanently from the set. I just can't see Paul doing that.
But you know what? If he does, I wouldn't feel bad. I'd like to have a few more songs, but hey, I heard that there weren't any solos, drum, bass, or guitar. So Mitch is probably very happy right now, you know, because he always said, I hate that stuff.
No solos. But, you know, here's something to think about. So if Black Diamond was the end of the normal set and then they went into encores, and again, I don't have confirmation of this, but I'm assuming the encore was Detroit Rock City and then Rock and Roll All Night. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't it have been cool to actually end the night with Love Gun?
Mm-hmm. I would love to see Rock and Roll Night played first.
Well, we've
opened up with it.
We've talked about that. That would be cool. But anyway, as a set list goes, that's a pretty radically shaken up set list. It's not it's not going into the deep cuts. So don't start crying that there's no Oath in there and there's no... you know, something off the solo album. Don't go into that. It's just not going to happen. They're never going to go into super deep cuts.
But you know what they could do that I think would make this very interesting is if they're switching it up every night, like Gene says they're going to, then switch it up the right way and get rid of two or three of the songs that you expect to be standards. Leave that bass, like get rid of I Love It Loud, and throw in that as one of your alternatives that night. Get rid of Shout It Out Loud, throw in the alternative that night, and really mix it up.
Yeah,
rather than sacrificing, making love.
It will be very interesting to see. Well, first of all, because Gene did tweet that they were going to change it up every night. He didn't give a lot of details about what that means. We're all assuming they're going to change it up like they did on the Rock the Nation tour, where every town, one song got changed up and there was a rarity put in. It's going to take a few shows under our belt here to get a feel for what's happening. How long is the set? Is there supposed to be one or two more songs here? What is the song that gets changed up every night? You know, is it? I'm just making up. Is Christine 16 the slot that, you know, tomorrow night in Denver, that's gone, but a different song is in that place? You know, do they put Hooligan in, or I don't know.
Tomorrow and Tonight?
Something. You know, is that become... Yeah. So, you know, part of what I want to say is don't think that this is set in stone yet. This is only one night. And and one thing I've learned after going to concerts for so many freaking years is the first night of anybody's tour is pretty much always going to be different than the rest of the tour.
Right.
Because that's when they try songs, they drop songs. It's sort of like, you know, if you were out promoting a new album, you want to go and you want to hear songs off that new album, go to the first night or maybe the second night, because that's when bands try those songs out and quickly learn that they just don't work live in concert, and then they get dropped, they get replaced. So by the time you're in the middle of a tour, the set list has really kind of worked itself out and is just happening. Beginning of a tour, first night, you know, this things could change dramatically. They might just sit here and go, you know what? Psycho Circus doesn't work in the middle of the set. That's got to be the opener. So let's switch that in King of the Nighttime World out.
Right.
You know, so let's just wait and see what happens. But, man, I was impressed. I honestly thought we were going to get the same set list off of the Monster Tour.
So did I. And I like that they dropped Hell or Hallelujah.
There's nothing off of Sonic Boom or Monster.
No, and I'm okay with that too. I suppose that's where they shave. But like I said, I hope that they don't sacrifice something that's not a rarity but still a cool song like Making Love or King of the Nighttime World and putting something else in its place. Please switch it up and get rid of some of the more common ones, you know, and switch those out on an occasion. Because especially with a shorter set, people are going to be so happy just to be at the experience of what's going on. You know, and you can't compete with Def Leppard and their string of hits, nor should you. Just do your own thing.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So, again, I'm just going to say I'm really excited by the set list. There's going to be some viewers are going to think we're full of shit, that this is a weak set list, that they made no changes. And there goes my video again. Boy, Skype is just being a little...
God is throwing rocks at your head.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry for what I said about Eric Carr last week.
Well, you know, what do you do?
I told you I was going to take heat, and I took heat.
You sure did. I mean, you know, but that's all right, though. It's good discretion, and it's your opinion.
Yeah, that's always what gets me. It's like, you know, somebody was posting... Oh, you know, there's no love for Eric in that show. I don't think that was the case.
How does someone get to that point? You know, I don't see it.
I think that's the point they want to get to.
Yeah, just because you say that he had zero impact on you doesn't mean that he's a bad drummer or doesn't deserve to be in the band or choose whatever scenario you want. You're just simply saying, look, it had no impact on me. I'm not a big Bruce Springsteen fan. He has zero impact on me, but that's not the same as making a statement that I think he sucks and I can't stand him. Different things.
I'll throw one out here that'll probably rile up everybody. The Beatles had zero impact on me, and I could care less.
Now you're going to hell.
I'm not a Beatles fan.
For sure.
But I totally appreciate and respect everything they've done in their career and all the influence they had. But, you know, the Beatles had zero impact on me.
But that's the point of music, is that it's very subjective and it's very personal and it reaches people in a different way. And you saying that the Beatles had zero impact is not, like you said, saying that you think they suck. It just doesn't work for you, but it doesn't mean you hate them. It's just...
It doesn't mean that they
can't... It's not right or wrong, so you can't...
It doesn't mean they can't have impact on somebody else.
Yeah, exactly. It's the same thing with their car.
Yep. Anyway, I'm paying for it today. Skype is taking it out on me.
Yep. It happens. So, where do we go from here?
Where do we go from here? Well, now we got to really scrape the bottom. So, anyway.
Well, you said something you wanted to talk about.
Well, there was a. All right, we're gonna stick with a what if. And this was inspired by a post. Comment on our Facebook page about the Eric Carr What If episode. And, or actually, no, it was inspired on YouTube, I think. I think somebody inspired it on YouTube. Anyway, it was about the elder. And I responded back for, well, how about this what if? What if music from the elder sounded exactly the same? The album didn't change, the sound, the songs, the recording, even the packaging, you know, none of that changed. But the band didn't tone down their costumes. And instead, the costumes were what they came up with for Creatures of the Night tour. So you had the Elder album with the Creatures of the Night costumes. Would that album have been perceived as a heavier album because the band looked heavier?
Acted heavier. You want me to go first?
Go for it.
No, I don't think so, and here's why. When you look at that time frame, and this is just what I can remember of it, there was very little to do or mention about the new look of the band until literally, I think, either the album had been released or just been released. There wasn't this huge hype up to it. So I think the image had very little to do with the way the record is perceived. But yet, I think if the packaging had changed, it could have been completely different. But I think that they hyped it as tying it together as a theme record like Tommy or The Wall. That's what really shot him in the foot. Whereas if you would have taken these songs, cut out all the bullshit, and just made the record and mixed up the songs, however, even if they ended up in the order they ended up and they weren't trying to tell a story, I think that's what killed him more than anything else. All people right, just so, were so disinterested.
Let's loosen the what-if constraints here. The album sounds exactly like it does now. None of that changes. What if they had heavier costumes and the packaging was changed and the marketing was changed?
I think that they could have had a slightly better impact because, you know, one of the things is they've always sold their image. That's been part of it. And that's why some of the album covers they put out have been so incredibly creative, because they've used their image to their fullest extent. And now all of a sudden you put something out that's actually possibly worse than the Unmasked cover, if that's possible, and you have something that doesn't look like them, and it just, if you walked by it in a mall, you would never stop to go, oh. Whereas I would stop to look at Alive 2, or I would, you know, look at Love Gun or Dynasty, pick whichever one you want. I really think that the whole, you know, concept record and the whole packaging was a huge mistake. And I know they were doing the same thing that The Wall was doing, because you look at that cover and that sold millions and millions of records. But to me, the difference between Kiss and Pink Floyd is Pink Floyd delivered exactly what the fans of Pink Floyd would want.
Pink Floyd is a concept band, in my opinion, to begin with.
Right. So it doesn't matter what their album covers look like. The people are going to buy it because they're buying that music for what it is. I think Kiss sent a very confusing message to their fans. And because they got poppier and poppier, like we talked about last week with the last two records, people at that point were probably just disinterested. And I think that it had kind of run its course. You know, Bren said to me, he's like, the smartest thing they ever did was take the makeup off because then they could put it back on.
Sure. Now back to our what if. I do think the music, the album would have been perceived as heavier because back then people were judging Kiss by their looks. It was visual. That's what people were seeing. And they were starting to see in what happened. You went from a rock band to a disco band to pop band to... what did they call the elder? New romantic? You know?
What the hell's that?
It's like trying to be new age, new wave, Euro pop. You know, all of a sudden...
The village people.
Instead of looking like a freaking heavy metal band, I think that music, as I said last week, is rock music that's on there. And I think if you change the wrapper that music was given to you in and how you were seeing it as you were listening to it, I think it would have been perceived as much better music. I think the fans would have accepted it if they saw Gene in his Creatures of the Night costume and they saw Paul in his Creatures. If they saw those costumes, big boots, you know, imagine if they even used the tank for an Elder tour. It's an in-your-face explosion blowing up. That music is now going to sound loud and heavy.
Like that really cool poster that they use as the promo poster for Creatures, where they're all standing on whatever that, you know,
the rocks,
and it says the loudest band in the world or whatever. Imagine that as your Elder cover. You know, I'd like to believe there's a small part of me that would like to believe that they were rehearsing somewhere and Bill LaCoin walks in with a box full of records, something like right out of Spinal Tap, and one of them pulls out the record and looks at his, and says, is this a joke? This is all record. Really? This is a joke.
It's just a hand.
I'm hoping.
It's just a hand.
It's just a hand.
There's nothing more hand than this.
Yeah.
There's no more hand.
Like none more hand. You know, I just hope that that's how it went down. Because one of the things that I've years as they've talked spoken about with several, in many cases they never really had much to do with what the artwork ended up being, which I find extremely hard to believe. Like you would just create this thing and let someone else just kind of run with it. Now maybe that's not how it is anymore, but back in the day I think that happened more often than not. And I don't know. Yeah.
Maybe we should go get Dennis Wallach on, you know, who did all the artwork for him. See what he has to say.
Yeah.
But I do think in my what-if scenario, I think the Elder... I'm not saying the Elder would have been a huge success, but I think the Elder would have been perceived as a solid Kiss record if visually the album packaging... even with the concept of the music, if the packaging had a cool cover to it and the band had their cool makeup, costumes, boots, everything else, I think people would have looked at that album and went, okay, you're back. You're not that disco crap that happened last year and 2 years ago. You're back to being Kiss. Yeah, this is a rock record.
And that's why I'm saying the image was just not enough. You'd have to change the packaging as well. Because if you look at the album cover, too, Kiss is up in the little left corner, and it's relatively small compared to music from the Elder. And there's some people who just aren't smart enough to catch that. So they might not have seen it and thought, well, this is something else or whatever. Maybe they think it really should have been in the King Crimson catalog, which is right behind it. You know, I don't know, but I think it had to have a complete makeover, and that could have saved them. It's possible, but the whole concept thing too, I think what they were reaching for is the classic rock fans like Pink Floyd fans and other fans of those types of bands to glom onto something that they thought would suit or fit the needs of a different music public and completely ignored their base of fans who like them for what they are.
Yeah. I think that, yeah, that's what happened. I think them trying to be a smart band. Kiss is not a smart band. They've never been a smart band.
No, it's like when Motley Crue put out Generation Swine. It was their first record back together with Vince Neil, and they're standing there with pig heads on. And it's kind of an industrial sounding record. And I just remember going, I don't get it.
Right.
So to me, it was the same kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and the hardcore fans really wanted to like it. And there was some good stuff on there, but yeah, it was ill-fated and the wood table in the center. And it's like, really, you know,
we could have had an Elder tour. Wouldn't that have been cool? Then we wouldn't be listening to fans bitch about wanting the Oath added into the set list, because they would have already played that on tour.
Yeah, exactly. And their props would have been too small, like Stonehenge. Yeah, it's hard to say, but to me that, yeah, it was a bad direction, and unfortunately, or if they had skipped maybe Unmasked and skipped the Elder and gone right to Creatures, maybe that would have been a different thing. But maybe they just wore out their welcome and it wouldn't have mattered what they put out.
Well, that's the point of what if. It doesn't really matter because it played out as it did. But
well, who stayed steadfast through that time frame? Okay, so Van Halen was building. Black Sabbath was in a change because they were going through the Ian Gillan thing until they got to Ronnie James Dio. So they're kind of in flux. You had Deep Purple that was just like not really there. You had Judas Priest and that wave of British heavy metal. But a lot of that stuff I wouldn't consider to be very popular, like Saxon, but Iron Maiden was gaining ground, and it seemed like the ones that were producing really good metal albums that were staying true to what their fan base wanted seemed to be having a lot more success. And I think it's because they had a plan, and Kiss seemed to be grasping for what they had and couldn't hold on to it.
But do you think is it because they had a plan, or is it because those bands were at a different stage of their career? That Kiss had been around basically 10 years. They were at a point where they had to start evolving because they were dealing with changing musical climates, where bands like Judas Priest and Iron Maiden were at the very beginnings of their career. Just going out, Judas Priest in 79 was opening for Kiss.
Mm-hmm.
So they hadn't been around for 10 years yet. And weren't at a point where they were starting to have to mature and deal with the changing trends. They were just being themselves at that point. Because I think if you take those two bands as an example and fast forward a few more years, they started to go through it. Judas Priest, Turbo.
Right, but Iron Maiden didn't, did they?
I think, again, I'm not a big Iron Maiden fan, but I think there was a point during...
True, haven't they, from the get-go?
I think there was a point during the 80s where they did, quote, keyboard it up a bit more, but it didn't fall as miserable as, like, Judas Priest Turbo or any of that other stuff.
Okay. Yeah, so maybe it doesn't matter whether it's Kiss or whoever it is. Everyone or every band is destined to go through it to some degree.
I think that's the point. Every band, if you're able to keep it together, will eventually have to go through that. You're going to be around 10 years and there's going to be outside influences starting to hit you, and you're going to be like, ooh, we need to change with the times, we need to stay relevant, but this is what's relevant right now.
And I can see that, but at the same time, I think another thing to ponder, which has always been interesting to me, is I know quite a few fans who stopped liking them after Rock and Roll Over. Like, that was the last record they felt was good. And then Love Gun started to get too poppy, and it kind of went downhill from there. And these are some pretty big Kiss fans. And when I look back on that whole time frame as a kid, I was enjoying what they were doing and how they were evolving. So maybe the crack starts way before the Elder, and the Elder is just kind of what's being blamed or unmasked or Dynasty, when in reality, maybe they started to lose course way back in 77.
Yeah, I mean, maybe the cracks were happening earlier, and the collapse just took that long to finally happen.
Yeah, it's like the Titanic. The holes were already in the side of the ship. No one realized it till it was half underwater.
You know, and did the cracks basically start, and this could be Kiss, but obviously any band, when success hits. Once you've made it, now you're going to try and do everything you can to stay at the top. And that's,
yeah, I'm sure that affects.
And that's jumping on new trends that are happening and popular because you think that's what's going to keep you up there. I mean, until you're on the top, you've got one goal. That's just bust your ass to get up there.
Mm-hmm.
And once you're up there, you want to do anything you can to stay there and keep that money flowing in, because now your lifestyle has changed because of all the income. And those are the cracks that all of a sudden you're like, oh, well, maybe we should do a Hollywood movie called Kiss Meets the Phantom because we need to be on TV. Maybe we should do 4 solo albums that ship a million copies each when we've never sold, you know, that we've never sold 4 million albums of a single album.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, I'm sure that there's some of that with everything, and maybe that's why all bands go through the demise to the certain degree. I can't think of one that hasn't had their up and down.
And what separates bands is how you come out of those times. Do you completely collapse and give in to those outside influences, or are you able to pull yourself together, change yourself around, come back and get refocused, come out of the Elder, get refocused with Creatures of the Night, Lick It Up, you're back to being a rock band again. You know, is that the difference between bands? Is some, and maybe it's not talent, but they just have they are so big that they didn't fall completely to nothing. They just fell down a few notches and they can still get back up, as opposed to just completely disappearing.
Right. Well, and also, too, I think it has so much to do with the people that you've surrounded yourself with, because a lot of this, I think, the decisions that are being made by people other than the band members on behalf of the band that have to do with financial reasons and all of that. So you got to factor that in as well. Maybe if Kiss had a different management team at a certain point, that could have changed things. But the difference is that artists typically seem to look at things a certain way because they're artistic, and then you have the business guys who are trying to shove everything into a box that are analytical thinkers, and the two can clash a lot. So I mean, there's a lot of different reasons, but it really makes me kind of wonder if that crack started a lot earlier and it was headed this way regardless of whether it was the Elder or if it was something else. Because think about how many records that you've bought over the years that you absolutely love that didn't get public acclaim or barely got noticed at all for whatever reason. And it's just kind of a luck of the draw.
Yeah, it is. You know, well, as you were talking about the business, think about any company that once a company gets so big that lawyers and accountants start making decisions.
Mm-hmm.
Because now they're just looking at a spreadsheet in the bottom line. And how does that action impact the end result?
Yeah, and you're not in touch with what's going on.
Yeah, that's not in the best interest of your product, of your fans, of what you're doing. But when you start having all that outside influence where you're having a weekly business meeting with personal managers and business managers and accountants and tour accountants and business accountants, and all of a sudden they're all sitting here going, well, you need to do this, you need to do this. You're going to sit here and go, well, we better do this or we aren't going to have a band.
maybe that's why the one-hit wonder formula works so well and has forever, because they're catching a wave on whatever is popular at the moment, lots of times, depending on what type of pop is really heavy at the time or influenced. And you get someone who comes out, makes a record, maybe two. They surf the charts. They go out on a couple of really good tours, and then they're cast aside by the next one. It's got to be a lot harder to be in a band and want longevity.
Oh, it's got to be a lot more work to do that.
Yeah, so maybe that also is equally to blame for all of this.
I mean, you know, look at Kiss. I mean, how many classic songs are on their debut album that are still played today?
It's like half the record.
And how many songs that are there any other albums that have that many songs coming off of it?
Maybe Destroyer to a certain degree. But that also brings up a good point. Are they classic songs because people bought the record and they expect them to play them? Or is there a different reason that they're playing them just because they like them the best? Because I would also argue as a Kiss fan that there's some great songs on records that were virtually ignored that are just as strong, if not stronger, than the stuff off the first record.
But I think what it shows is, point I was making is, you know, the old saying of a band has their entire life to write their first album.
Yeah, it's coming up with new material after that.
You have 6 months to write your second album and another 6 months to write your third album. You put your entire life into that debut album. All of your heartaches, all of your loves, all your breakups, all of your everything. And now you have to write a second album and have just as much stuff poured into it, but where does it come from? You've only had 6 months since that last record, you know.
Right.
And again, that's a testament to why so many bands have so many great first albums and then they just disappear, because they there's nothing they can do after that.
Right. Well, and then it makes me wonder about bands like Aerosmith, in the respect that they probably had to hit the skids, go through everything, and take a dive and reinvent themselves out of the ashes and come up with Permanent Vacation, which launched them on a whole other, you know, career, essentially. And Kiss, in a way, had to do that, but they had to do it in motion while everything was changing, versus taking 5 or 6 years off and then right, coming back with something. So really, to me, Aerosmith's rebirth, for the lack of a better term, with Permanent Vacation in 1987 is probably not all that different from Kiss coming back in 96 with the makeup. You know?
Or you could go as far back as saying Kiss hit their lowest point with Dynasty, Unmasked, Elder, and it took the Creatures of the Night, Lick It Up, for them to be reborn, where Aerosmith had that happen around Permanent Vacation. You know, that was Kiss's lowest point.
Yeah, because they
never disappeared as a band.
Right. Well, yeah, because what Aerosmith put out, Rockin' a Hard Place, that was 82. And the next record they put out was Done with Mirrors in 85, when they kind of semi-got back together. And then you didn't hear much from them. And then all of a sudden, boom, Permanent Vacation and Love in an Elevator took off. And that's one of the things that Kiss is missing, too, is a hit that would take off that way. That's a whole other topic. Well,
that's what they spent the entire 80s trying to do.
Yeah, they chased it.
They kept chasing. Let's get that songwriter, co-writer, producer, sound, image. Let's go for it. Go, and you can't fault them, because let's be honest, Aerosmith was chasing it, Hart was chasing it,
yeah.
Ozzy was chasing it. They just got lucky and they hit the home run.
Right. Whereas Kiss got to second base.
Yeah, I was just gonna say they hit a double.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody was chasing it. There's no reason to think Kiss shouldn't have hit that home run. It just, you know, didn't click. Whatever.
Yeah, and I thought for sure it would have been with Forever. You know, I'm surprised at that one.
Or even Reason to Live.
Yeah, that was virtually ignored.
Reason to Live had everything about it. It should have been a monster.
Yeah.
At least Forever did chart. At least Forever did make the top 10.
It was the first power ballad of the 90s.
So, it just didn't catapult. It didn't catapult into record sales. It catapulted the tour. Helped the tour immensely.
Yeah, I think so. You know, but then word got out too. I think that they were doing a mixed set list, and that got some more people interested, and on we go.
And, you know, the young girls went to the concert and they saw Gene and they're like, what is that? It's not Bon Jovi.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Kind of like, yeah. Yeah, it's Maud.
So, yeah, what is Maud doing on stage? Mom, why am I at a Maud concert?
God, some people are so lost. It's amazing. So, yeah, interesting to kind of, you know, discuss. What do you guys think? Tell us. We're curious. How do you feel about it? Where do you think the cracks happened? Do you think that it's the Elder would have shifted, like Mike and I are talking about, with a different artwork and the look, or would they have had to stay more with Creatures? What, you know, because I think the album is solid. I think there's some really good songs on there. Now, whether they're noteworthy enough to play live, that's anyone's, you know, guess, but I like the record. It's well produced. They've got some really good songs, but yeah, it really missed the mark.
But you know, let's be honest. I Was Made for Loving You on the album is not the same I Was Made for Loving You that they play live in concert now.
That's true. They've meddled it up.
The concert is a much heavier rock version of the song. It's lost that real thick disco edge to it that it has on the album. So, mm-hmm. You know, is it possible that if the Elder had some reception, that one or two of those songs would have made it through the years and just become more metalized, more heavy?
Yeah, I think so, because look at, well, I can't say that would have gotten metalized, but they would have survived, because look at Shandy when they go to Australia. Because it became a radio single that charted fairly well, that's considered one of their pop hits or hits in Australia, and they play it when they go down there.
Yeah.
And that was another one that surprised me. You know, Love It or Hate Unmasked, that song was really, really good. And I am really surprised from a pop standpoint that one wasn't a biggie. But again,
it was Kiss doing it, so nobody was going to pay attention to it.
Yeah, that's essentially it at that point. You know,
now here's the what if. What if Unmasked was released and Kiss literally had taken the makeup off and just looked like a pop rock band? Would that album have gotten more respect as a really great pop record?
Yes, I believe so. I think anytime they would have taken the makeup off, it would have been the same thing that happened when they did it for Lick It Up. And I think that KDWB and other pop stations that Casey Kasem was on would have played that single much more. I think they would have said, oh, hey, they can play their instruments. So it wouldn't have been any different.
It's interesting to play this what if game now, basically keeping every album exactly the same sonically, musically. You don't rewrite anything, you don't re-record anything. You just change the band's visual appearance around that album.
Yeah, I think that what got them noticed also became their Achilles heel.
Yeah, well, I mean, clearly, that's, as fans, we know that. You know, Paul has said that. They've all said that. People were judging them by the makeup. You can't play rock and roll. You're just wearing makeup on stage. So if you took that makeup off, what would that have done to the Elder? What would that have done? What would that have done to Creatures of the Night?
I don't think Creatures of the Night would have existed, because if they found... If they took the makeup off in 1980 and they released Unmasked and they literally went from the costume to non-costume, I think it would have given them a huge push in the U.S. market. I think it would have put them on a different type of tour. And because of the success, going back to that whole idea of like holding on to what you've got once you've got it, we would have seen three or four more records out of them.
That's interesting.
Like Unmasked.
Yeah.
Until the well ran dry. At that point,
I've never thought about that. But yeah, if Unmasked was released identical to what it is, except for the band completely taking the makeup off and looking like a pop band, you're right. I bet they wouldn't have gone into Creatures and Lick It Up and Animalize. They would have gone in the direction of Kiss becoming a more safe, soft, pop-sounding band. until at some point in the 80s, like you said, it ran its course or something else influenced him.
Yeah,
we would have ended up with a much softer, lighter version of Kiss.
Yeah, we would have ended up with successive records that sounded like Unmasked and morphed into Crazy Nights. I think that's where it would have caught up with itself again, is they would have put out Crazy Nights. They started to get a little bit of the hard edge back and would have worked their way back to Revenge. But from 1980 to 1987, Lick It Up, Animalize, and Asylum would have not happened. And they would have been a poppier type of band until they kind of grabbed the metal bandwagon and become more Bon Jovi-ish by accident rather than on purpose.
That's tripping my mind.
But could you see that, though?
No, because I totally could see that. As we're talking about it, I'm sitting here going, wow, I could totally see that happening much more than the Elder What If that we talked about.
And the other thing, too, that would have been interesting is then what would have Gene's role have played in the band if they would have gone to a more poppy sound? Would he have been more replaceable at that point because they're having such a great success with the pop sound? Would he have stayed more interested and created pop songs like She's So European and the stuff they were doing? Or would he have been completely disinterested? Because, again, the one thing, though, if they would have taken the makeup off at Unmasked, he still would have had the character problem.
Well, he still would have had the character problem, definitely. But let's not forget, Gene is a huge Beatles fan. He's a big fan of that pop-type music. I mean, We Are One off of Psycho Circus. I love that song, but it's not what you would call a heavy Kiss song. It's a very Beatles-sounding pop tune. So
it's like See You Tonight.
If Kiss morphed in that direction, it might have been exactly what Gene wanted. He would have been like, mm-hmm. Oh, wow, this is my music. This is Beatles pop. I'm creating the music I really love and grew up listening to. Now, how do you deal with the whole I'm lost in what I should look like?
But see, that's my point. If they would have looked... See, here's the problem. When they took the makeup off, from my perspective, they jumped into Bon Jovi's pants and tried to be this early metal glam, whatever the hell it was. If you would have looked at the way that they looked, for instance, or the way they were presented at the end of the Shandy video, where it was much more of a street clothes kind of thing because the metal scene in LA hadn't really taken off at that point, they might have gone into a completely different direction and not had the same influence. Either way, I think that Gene would have had a character issue.
Oh, he definitely
he
would definitely have the character issue. You just got to imagine, what would he look like? What would his... I would never worry about Paul and his fashion. He'll figure it out,
But I could see Gene on stage with his, like, boots with the dollar signs on them and all of the freaking, tarantula
shit. But as a pop band, that's not going to fly.
But it might if they have just a slightly harder edge. So maybe Unmasked or the next record after Unmasked wouldn't have been quite as poppy. It would have had a more Beatles type of thing, less keyboard, and maybe the whole image would have changed and it would have been an easier thing to fall into.
Maybe at that point, that's where the image changes to become, without the makeup and the costumes, but to become more elderish. The shorter hair, slicked back hair. Fashionable clothing. Not going to the Flock of Seagulls look and avoiding going to the heavy metal rock band look. They became more of a fashionable, let's wear fitted suits. The hair is well done.
That's my point. They could have been something like the Knack in the respect that they could have had a little bit more of an edge to them. Yeah. But you know what I'm saying? Because I almost feel like when they took the makeup off, because they were considered a heavy metal band, they looked at everybody and what they were doing at that point and literally jumped in to try to look like
They had to look like what they were in at that point in time.
If they were a pop, they could have defined themselves differently.
They would have looked at a completely different genre and a different group of artists and said, we've got to look like those artists.
Mm-hmm. Which might have suited them better. Now, there'll be some people who will be throwing rocks at us right now when they listen to this. But it's a possibility. You can't deny it because it changes your scope of things completely. then again, taking the makeup off gives them a reason to put it back on. I think they would have gradually found their way back to, you know, Hot in the Shade and Revenge. I really believe that. But I think we could have had some great records.
I don't know if you would have. I don't know if they would have found their way back to Revenge, because you found your way back to Revenge because you were a metal band all along that was lost during the
80s. But Crazy Nights was really poppy.
If you became a pop band, but that Crazy Nights was poppy, was a heavy metal band trying to become poppy. If they had already been a pop band from Unmasked all the way through Crazy Nights, they would not have been a heavy metal band trying to find something. They would be a pop band trying to find something. And I don't think you would go that quickly from Crazy Nights to Revenge if you came into it as a pop band.
I disagree, because I think what they would do is by that point they would look again at where they stand, and they if things kept going the way they did, and start pulling out some of those older songs like I Stole Your Love, and seeing the crowd reaction and going, hey, these are a lot of fun to play. I think the same thing would have repeated itself. We would have been back with the makeup and the whole 80s thing would have been ignored.
Oh, no, I agree. I agree that we would have been back with the makeup. I bet the makeup would have come quicker.
Oh, that's possible, but I still think there would have been a Creatures album somewhere in there, and I think it would be in place of where the Revenge record was. Something in that area to bring them back to the rock metal kind of thing.
I almost wonder if instead of a Revenge album, that's where they're just like, you know, we're not a metal band anymore. We're not working as pop. We just got to go back to what we were, put the makeup back on. Let's do a reunion in 92.
Yeah. That's possible too.
4 years earlier.
Like right after Eric Carr passes away, they start contemplating it. And by 92, they're on the road as the original four again.
Yeah. Boy, I told you before we started we had no idea where this show was going.
Mm-mm. Yeah, so either we opened up a can of worms or a can of great discussion.
The Unmasked was. That was it. That was. We hit the mark on that one.
Nailed it.
Nailed that one. I'm going to go back and listen to Unmasked and picture a band not wearing makeup now and go, how does that sound? Because I do that. I'll listen to the music and change what I picture in my mind. How does Unmasked sound if they were not wearing makeup? And all of a sudden it'd be like, It does.
They would, because they have the ability to write really catchy pop songs. Because to me, a pop song is no different than a metal song if you've got some type of a melody running through it. Like Dave Mustaine said in an interview that he feels one of Megadeth's strong influences or why people gravitate towards them is they're one of the few real metal type bands that have melody in their songs. Now, whether that's true or not, I don't know. I'm not a Megadeth fan. But to me, that's the only difference. I've never looked at Motley Crue as heavy metal. Motley Crue is hard rock, but you could take some of their songs and make them a little more poppy, and they could still be really good and work, but it depends on how it's presented. Because to me, the biggest problem with Unmasked was the keyboards.
Everything was a problem with Unmasked in the context of what Kiss was at the time.
Right, but you remove the makeup and you change the image, totally different.
The makeup, the costumes.
And they wouldn't be glammed out.
No, they wouldn't. You would not go glammy. You would go a different route completely.
Yeah, imagine if they wore the suits like they just did.
Yeah,
like you said,
Knack. If you went after that narrow tie look,
and they could have pulled it off. They could have pulled it off.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because that would have changed everything. But I do believe they really, truly, one way or another, would have found their way back to the heavier stuff. And I do agree that by probably 92, they do the reunion rather than 96, if they could pull it off. But maybe 96 was the perfect timing. That 95, 96 was the right time. Because, you know, like everything else, you start to look back on high school or teenage years or whatever at a certain time. It seems like that particular era is popular again. So even if they wanted to, maybe 92 still would have been early.
I don't know. I feel like they never would have found themselves back to heavy metal because they would have no longer been a heavy metal band. What they would have found is complete. By 92, we're just completely lost. And the only thing that they know is makeup. And you go back to that. There was no trying to save themselves by recording a metal album. It's just like, we're not even a metal band anymore. We didn't work as a pop band. Let's just go back to what worked. Put the makeup on earlier. Would it have been as huge a success as it was in 96? Who knows? I mean, what if? We can
say I'd yes be willing that no. would be because everybody, so many, I mean,
people
it's just like
it.
This
people
show.
People wanted it.
They want to talk about memories. They want to experience something again that they hadn't. You know, because that was magical.
Yeah. Yeah.
That first tour.
So that's where we differ. I don't think they ever would have found themselves back to a metal record. I think they would have just...
Your audio has dropped, Mike, a lot. It's very quiet.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you, but it's like it really dropped.
All right. Well, we've got to give somebody something to bitch about in our audio quality.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you know what? Let's wrap up. Let's run Mark's segment.
Okay.
Check out his newest collectible. And
I want to say something about Mark, okay? Mark is doing this. He's getting acclimated. Give him time. He'll figure out the whole Skype thing. We're working on it.
Yeah. Chill out, people. Mm-hmm. Really, chill out.
Because he's bringing you guys the goods, man. There's some cool stuff.
Yep. Maybe he's got that unmasked album cover where the band did take the makeup off. Should I have not said that? So let's run Mark's segment, and then we'll come back, do homework, and wrap up.
Okay.
Cool? Watch Mark.
Hey, Three Sides fans. Mark Cheney from Detroit Rock City here. Tommy asked me earlier in the week to concentrate on Unmasked, so Unmasked period it is. We're going to start with this. This is the press kit for the album. It tells you about the album and the tour. And inside you get the studio shot they wanted to use and a slide. Speaking of the tour, the very first day of the tour, there was an ad for the show. And a used ticket for Mr. Carr's debut. A lot of people don't know that the Unmasked tour had three different tour books. Now, the German and the European shared the same back, but the Australian back had one just for themselves. Speaking of things that are really, really cool, a lot of people don't know that in the Kiss Army Unmasked era, there was a different photo set, and there was two photos of each guy, live in studio, Gene, Paul, Ace, Eric, and the band. Cool stuff. Also, this is kind of cool. This is an ad, and they're telling you, hey, you know, buy our cereal, and you make your own Kiss poster. How can you do that, you say? Well, if you buy their cereal. This is the back of the box, and you can cut out and make your own poster on the back. Speaking of cool tie-ins, how about the original Kiss ice cream wrappers from 1980? There's Ace, Gene and Paul, and of course, Mr. Carr's. Now this is pretty sweet. This is an unmasked cube. He's hung in record stores. Pretty sweet. They got the Kiss catalog on them and good stuff. I even have one that has not been assembled yet. Still in the original plastic from the 80s. Oh, so here's something that's kind of rare, and I have a lot of stuff, man. I could spend a day talking about the Unmasked tour. This is a German sticker. This is an official sticker you get at the show. It's kind of cool. And speaking of weird things, combs. These were from Australia. And come on, you Aussies, what the heck, man? Combs? Anyways, hey, I still don't have a name for my segment yet. Hopefully you guys come up with something cool. I love sharing my collection with you, and we will see you next week.
What kind of homework do we have here? When we started the show, I was going to say the homework should be about the Elder, but now I really feel like it should be about the What If Unmasked segment.
Yeah.
I don't want homework about the set list. Please, people. I don't want that.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I don't want to hear what songs you want to hear.
Yeah, that's
beaten to death.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm voting for homework as in, what do you think about what if they took the makeup off and released Unmasked?
Would they have- or you can also talk about the Elder and choose whichever course you think would be the better way to go.
Which one's more interesting to you? Releasing the Elder and...
With the look change, with the change of the...
Keep going, you know. going back to the Metal Kiss look, a la Creatures, or... What if they released Unmasked and took the makeup off and became a pop band? And how would that play out? That's the one that blows my mind.
Then instead of having like Saxon and Heaven as your opening act, you'd have the Romantics.
And Heaven 17.
Yeah. Oh, Lord.
Wow, this is just continuing to blow my mind. I'm like, wow, think of the concert billings.
Oh, Lord, yeah. Yeah, Kiss. So we want to hear what you think. Tell us.
Kiss with the Peeps. Romantics and Heaven 17.
Wow.
Dexy's Midnight Runners.
Oh, man. Oh, now it's getting bad.
Human League.
Yeah. Oh, Lord. Of course, that might actually have been more entertaining.
Wow. Talk about the concert pairings you could have had.
Right. Okay, see, now your audio just jumped right back up.
Well, it's your ears. Get the wax out of your ears.
No, I did that before we started, so it's not that.
All right, you got your homework, guys. Head over to facebook.com/threesidesofthecoin, threesidesofthecoin.com. ThreeSidesOfTheCoin.YouTube.com, ThreeSidesOfTheCoin.com. Leave us comments. Don't forget you can use the video message on the website and record your homework. You can do a video of your mind being blown by the segment we just had here.
Right. And the special guests are coming up, but it'll be a week or two.
Yes,
and it's worth the wait, guys. Believe me, we just got a total extra surprise today that's going to blow your mind more than this whole thing.
Yep, literally, we were on ready to do it, and he's like, "Hey, let's get one more guy in here." And we're like, "Yeah, definitely." It was sort of like when we had scheduled Leon Delaney, and he said, "Hey, you want Mark Britton to sit in?" Well, yeah, of course. Well, okay, he's not going to be available for about 3 more weeks. Okay. Let's just wait.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
So there you go. You got your homework. I want minds blowing all over our Facebook page on this one. I want to hear a little
Yeah, Chris Medic, please. Will you make something of like a Kiss fan's head imploding or something?
Or somebody come up with what would Kiss look like as a pop band? With slick-backed hair and suits and narrow ties and a concert poster of Kiss with Heaven 17 and the Romantics.
Oh, Lord. We opened a can of worms, but in a good way.
Different kind of can of worms. I don't think you can hate me on this one.
Oh, no, they'll hate you. Please. It's just inevitable.
It's inevitable.
So, yeah, we want to hear what you guys say. We're excited by this topic. So
yeah, this one caught us by surprise.
Yeah.
Crawled our way up the barrel a little bit on this one, I feel like.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right, guys, that's it. Until next week. Later.
Bye.
Get your Three Sides of the Coin t-shirts now available and shipping worldwide. Head over to shop.threesidesofthecoin.com. Download a free copy of the ebook, KISS School of Marketing, 11 Lessons I Learned While Working with KISS. Head over to noisetrade.com/Michael Brandvold.